It's Yuzi. Hello, everybody, and it is episode, whatever episode this is. You know how it is when you're very, very busy. Today's guest is the great Colm Tyrrell. Now, a lot of people have asked me to have him, or to try to interview him for a long time. Well, now you don't have to ask me anymore because, I interviewed him, and I went, and just to make it doubly exciting for people, two Irish people on the podcast, finally. It's fucking, we're well over 100 episodes now, and it finally happened that I had an Irish person on the show. There you go. But before we get to any of that excitement, and before we get to any of the cameos, it is first time for the plugs. Do not forget that if you want to see the video version of tonight's episode, then go check it out at Hugey Entertainment on YouTube. Thankfully, at the time of recording, we have finally passed the 10,000 subscriber mark on my YouTube. So thank you very much. It's been going great. The view count has been going well. No, it's not anything to boast about, but it's doing good. So thank you very much for the support on that. But speaking of YouTube, if you happen to be a fan of professional wrestling and you want to hear the experts talk about it, then go check out Keeping It 100 Official on YouTube. That's the official channel for the now infamous podcast hosted by Conan and Disco Inferno. At the time of recording this, we have literally just passed 26,000 subscribers this morning. And it just passed 13.5 million views. So it's going very, very good. And thank you for the support in that. And here's hoping for more and more by the end of the month. Or year. In fact, no, let's go for year so that I don't possibly end up falling on the old sword. I don't even know what that means. If you want to interact with me on social media, I'm at the Hugey on Instagram, at the Hugey on Twitter. You can message me all you want. I'll likely not reply. So if you want to contact me, write me messages in the comment section of Hugey Entertainment on YouTube, okay? Thank you. And I have to say that any and all music clips you may hear within this episode, well, if you want to support those artists and you want to personally own and buy those songs, you can get them from all good official music stores and streaming sites. And for my personal review, they're all 5-star brilliant, and I wouldn't use them if I didn't think they're anything less than 5 stars. So thank you, and the plugs are over. Yes, so today's guest is Colm Tyrrell, stand-up comedian. Now, even though he's Irish, he lives out in New York. So I still had to go by American time for this. I thought it went great. He's a funny guy. Now people can understand the difference between the southern accent, which is where Colm is from, and the northern accent, which is where the H-Man is from. But before we get to that, as you may have heard me plug the pro wrestling channel, Keeping 100 Official on YouTube, I'm also a big close personal friend of pro wrestling legend Raven, and I'm a big fan of film. I love talking about that. I do it all the time. So I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll talk to wrestling legend Ravel. Okay, so I've called him Level and Ravel in this intro. I could go back and edit this out, but I'm gonna reality check it there, man. Wrestling legend Raven, and I want to talk to him about the greatest horror film ever made, The Shining. Raven, hello.
Yeah, let's get one from Adam Hughes. See what he has to say. Saturday, 6:06 p.m. Stanley Kubrick versus Stephen King. Why, hello, my good sirs. Just upon this fine evening, I watched Dr. Sleep, the sequel to The Shining. For me, it is a 5-star horror film, but when you consider the endless debates over the quality of Stanley Kubrick's film, the Stephen King novel, it got me thinking. Do you think Jack Nicholson got a blowjob off Shelley Long at any point during production? She's kind of a skinny cunt, so I would bet she's not up to Jackie Boy's standards for fucking. But as Mother Teresa used to say, a blowjob's a blowjob. That old cunt knew what she was talking about, the old cunt. I hear the AIDS-carrying Athers is making a new version of the film called The Shining, but it all takes place in a bungalow for obvious reasons. Kill all English people, nuke England, the queen is a cunt, there's fish and chips in her cunt. Joe Plug, Rich Plug, Raven Plug, there, man.
Nuke England. I've heard that.
Did he just say the AIDS carrying Athers?
And he said there's fishing ships in the Queen's Clunt. I forgot to read that in my. I forgot to read that in an Irish accent. Should I go back and do it again? No.
That's one. Okay. Yes. That's two. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Raven. I'm not done talking about film. You know what? I'm going to get Mike Durband on. I'm going to talk to Mike Durband. Right, you know what, Mike? Let's talk a little bit of superhero. Let's talk Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Mike Durband, hello. Up next, coming to the podcast, the biggest Batista mark going, talking to one of the biggest Vin Diesel marks going. Mike Durband is back, and we are here to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So I was thinking, which would be a very interesting question to ask you, what did you think of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2?
Excellent movie, great performance by Kurt Russell, the legend.
Mm-hmm, I'd love to fuck his wife. Want to buy wrestling merch, but don't want to buy the cheesier, childish stuff the WWE puts out? Well, Collar and Elbow is the company for you. Collar and Elbow was founded on the traditional values of professional wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product intended to connect with people on an emotional level. A symbiotic relationship where one cannot flourish without the other. They strive to create a product that embodies their passion for professional wrestling through street fashion. Basically, it's wrestling merchandise that you can wear in public that doesn't make you look like a total nerdy mark. This is great stuff. I've bought a bunch of it myself. I wear it myself quite often. And when you go to buy it, don't forget to use the coupon code HUGEZY. That's HUGHEZY, all in capital letters, to let them know that you heard about it through me. That's Collar and Elbow. Use the coupon code HUGEZY, and do not forget to tell your friends, because this is the best merchandise company you're going to find anywhere. Support to you for It's HUGEZY Hello is brought to you by Manscaped, who just so happens to be the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Know what I mean? They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Everybody knows what it's like when you're trying to keep yourself clean or keep yourself special, you know, for that big night out. Just say you have to be going to a big concert, say, I don't know, AC/DC stadium show. There's about 6 of you going away. You know that, right, something's going down tonight, so I'm going to trim my hell's bells. Use the wrong thing, you're going to end up cutting your balls, and you're going to be on the highway to hell, if you know what I mean. One of my hilarious jokes there. But that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. It's called the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to advanced skin safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. And when I tell you this is premium, I actually mean this is premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. You gotta play it safe. You don't want to speed through that shit, cut one of your balls off. It's waterproof technology, so you can groom in the shower. It helps clean up easier. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show off your mower loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. And if you're listening to me speak right now, and I hope you are, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that drunk of yours. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HUGEZY at manscaped.com. At HUGHEZY at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. And just as a little quick reminder, get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code HUGHEZY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code HUGHEZY, HUGHEZY. And thank you for the sponsorship, and on with the show. And do not forget to check out Get My Go on YouTube. The view count is going great. The ratio of views to subscribers is good. But what's doing great is the Get My Go podcast version, which is very fucking annoying because for me personally, I think that the video version is more fun to, well, enjoy. So go check out Get My Go on YouTube. Go check out Get My Go on all your good podcasts and services. And do not forget to leave comments in the YouTube comment section of Get My Go to let Mike Durban know that you're a big fan of all the work that he puts into it. Up next is Colin Tyrell. We're going to talk all the usual stuff. There's no point in me giving any descriptions. And it begins in 3, 2... 1. Colm, hello. Welcome into the podcast right now. Yet another New Yorker comedian. I always love to give New Yorkers an interview simply because I love the New York accent so much. We've got Colm Tyrell on his name. So, Colm, let's hear your typical New York accent.
How's it going? What's the crack?
So what part of New York were you born in?
I'm born and raised in Brooklyn, yeah.
See, they're just like Jay-Z.
Exactly, yeah. Bed-Stuy.
Do you ever get mistaken for Jay-Z?
Once from behind, but then they grab me and then they're like, Jay, you know? And they're like, shit, sorry, man. Don't worry about it.
That's something I've always thought about. Like, you'll probably get this reference. You know, do you remember the band Skunk and Nancy?
No, I don't. No, I never heard them in my life.
Oh, right. Well, the Skunk,
Skunk and Nancy?
Skunk and Nancy, yeah.
Okay.
And the lead singer was this black lady. That's what we'll call her for this show. And she had a shaved head.
What else would you call it? I don't
know. Well, I'll tell you during the break. But she had a shaved head, and I always thought if you were doggy styling her, that must have been what it was like, raping Tupac.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I guess so, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. But we're on a very, very lovely April day, because it's definitely April and not March the 9th, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So what did you get up to on March the 10th?
Just sat around the house, was watching sports.
Nice.
Watching football, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, what was the results from March the 10th?
United had a great win. United had a great win, and they just went top of the table.
There you go.
Who'd have thought 5 weeks ago that Man City would have given away such a long lead of the Premiership, you know? So there you go.
But of course, one of my hilarious pranks I did on the listeners there, because I'm so wild and crazy. Colm obviously is not from New York. He's from Ireland. And one of the words we love using down in Ireland is cunt. I say it 24/7. I can't stop saying it. I walk around the house saying it along with certain other words. But Americans don't like that word. They get freaked out. So talk to me about what it's like for you bringing the Irish sensibility over to pussy, weak-ass, snowflake, gay America.
I don't know. They give me a pass usually because I have an accent, you know? And then you got to say it. Depends how you say it, you know what I mean? Sometimes you see people and they're cursing. You can tell that, like, they're trying to curse or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, they, you know, when they say, like, you fucking idiot or whatever. And you can go, like, it was, like, weird that you said that, you know? Whereas Irish people, if you're saying it and it's just rolling off the tongue at the end of a sentence, I think people just adjust to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love how in America they think calling you, they go, "Oh, you dumbass." It's like, that's what you've got. They go, "Will you hear what I'm going to say? I hope your cunt mom gets shot in the head." That's what I think.
Yeah. Have you been over to America? Have you?
Once, and it was eight, as they say.
Yeah, where'd you go?
It was in Manhattan in New York. Went to the 9/11 site, laughed my head off.
Got a couple of photos.
Thought it was funny as fuck. So glad that 9/11 happened. It's really funny when you think about it. Fuck them.
I guess that's one way of looking at it for sure, Adam. You got very polarizing views on the world, do you? Is that what's going on here?
I just like to annoy. It's fucking hilarious. But
oh,
nobody...
you're a troll. Adam's a troll.
Fuck, I'm if life is blood, I'm fucking a low T count, you know what I mean?
I gotta be honest, I have no idea what that means. No,
but I gotta ask you, just last night, over the last couple of days, I sort of say back on March the 8th, because this is April. Happy April, by the way.
Happy April to you. Happy Easter.
Thank you. On the TV, Ye Olde Royal Family was interviewed by Lady Oprah Winfrey. And the world is now shocked on March the 9th and 10th that, I should have said, a month later in April, that shockingly, the royal family are fucking known for bigoted views and depressing certain people. As an Irish person, how did you react to this shocking news that no one had ever known before?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really hear anything that was too crazy either. Just as the royal family goes, if the old guy, what's his name, Prince Philip, is it? Or the old, the one that's 99 years old, who's on his deathbed. If he turns around and goes, "Hey, look, you know, I'm not a fan of the Browns," I'd be like, "Yeah, that's like exactly what. That's like pretty good for the royal family. That's like a solid response." You know, years ago they would have just killed her. They would have just had her fucking head chopped off or something. It's like funny to think like this corporation that is the royal family is just still going strong after all these years, you know.
Yeah, but I thought that the her complaints, whatever, Megan, fucking whatever her name is, Megan Z or whatever, she said that, "Oh, we were trapped in this in the castle and we couldn't leave," or whatever the fuck you call it. Yeah. It's like that's your problem. It's like Irish people don't get to have votes.
Yeah, yeah, like I know what you mean, man. But like the you know. First of all, regardless of royalty being ridiculous, it's like a really interesting like business. It's not a family. Like, you know, this is the issue, is like people think it's a family. It's like it's a business, like the way Coca-Cola or McDonald's is a business. And they have to, and it's a con, because at any moment people could just decide we don't like them, get rid of them. They don't offer any real value. So they have to, through propaganda and weird techniques and in the public image and marketing, they need the English to believe that these guys are important, but they're not. They're just a random fucking family. But they're making you kneel and all this type of horseshit. So it's an interesting thing, and they're not allowed to act in any certain way, because like that's the your job is 24 hours a day, you know. So I kind of understand that she came in here and she wanted to play PlayStation or something. And they're like, "You know, you're not allowed to do that. You got to just sit in there. You got to just sit on that weird, big, expensive couch and just look at art that you don't understand."
Wait.
She wasn't allowed to have Twitter, Adam. Come on now. That's prison.
Poor girl. What's she going to do with all those selfies?
Exactly. She had Instagram FOMO.
She has it so rough. I can't wait to see who's going to make her play her in the movie of her life. 12 Weeks a Slave. I mean, Jesus. But here's a question for you. When do you think's the last time the Queen gave a BJ?
Oh, I don't know if ever would she. Is that even a thing? The royal beach. Philip was doing the dirt on her for a while too. They're all just cheating cunts too, which is like whatever. You know, I don't care about that, but it's like it's interesting that their image is the opposite. You know.
Yeah, and they're all like, oh, this is the worst scandal the royal family's ever heard. It's like, you want to bet? They had fucking Diana killed. The Prince Andrew's a pedo.
Pedo, yeah.
Like, some ugly bitch being kept in the house for a couple of weeks is not exactly a scandal.
I don't know. I don't think she's ugly. Do you think she's ugly?
She tell her what, see if she DMs me one more time, I'm going to block her.
Yo, Meg, it was a once-off thing. All right? Leave it alone.
Exactly. Yeah. We were at the Nickelback concert. I'd had a couple of ciders. I bumped into her. She was all, oh, Hughesy, you're so funny. Tell me, talk about Star Wars. I'm like, fuck's sake. So I gave her one, moved on, and so should she.
Yeah, good man. Good for you. There's a loads more scandals over the years, you know, even as far back as, I think it was the Queen's the Queen's grandfather who was king. He abandoned his cousins who were like the Hungarian princes or something. I believe it was either Hungarian or Russian. They were his cousins because they all had the same, because they all come from the same bloodline. And then, but there was they were getting overthrown and they asked for like help. And rather than help them, they distanced themselves from them and let that fucking crown tumble and said, fuck it, sorry. Survivors, survival of the fittest.
Yeah, or the battle of the races. And if that is the case, count me in.
Oh, yeah, is that what's going on?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's probably good branding to have a little black baby in there. By the way, barely black. By the way, just so I watched that interview with Meghan Markle. I'm not trying to, you know, diminish her struggles, I guess. But like, if someone told me she was white, I wouldn't even question it, right? They act like she's fucking Samuel L. Jackson, you know? Like, she's like a tanned woman.
Yeah.
And the kid is, you would never, have you seen a photo of the kid?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have one on your wall, you sicko. Yeah, but that kid's whiter than I am. So it's for all their fucking, I hope he's not too black. You know, he was never going to be too black.
Yeah, but I just think that this is such not, a fun.
Not that, wait, hold on, not that there is anything such as too black. But just a cover of myself there.
No, I'll be editing that out. Don't worry.
That's all you'll have on loop.
Yeah. There's the trailer, and I'll tag Anthony Cumia. It'll go viral. It'll be a huge hit. But I just think that it's such a non-issue, and I think that, like, obviously racism's bad, but this is not racism, and this is not a scandal, and I just think we're not getting to the point where, like fucking Mr. Potato Head is offensive, fucking the Muppets are now considered racist, Eddie Murphy got called racist for fucking... Coming to America too.
And did he? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, and I because they're saying that he is in, what do you call it, enhancing stereotypes. And it's like, this is fucking, I think they're running out of stuff to get offended by, and it's the desperation is starting to show.
Yeah, I guess so. They're just sort of conditioned to believe stuff. I don't know. I never really got into it too much, you know, the whole cancel culture or being offended stuff.
Speaking of which, no country is more heavily into being offended than the pussy ass, weak legs, no arms America. You, of course, moved there to New York. So talk to me about what made you go to New York and how you found the comedy scene since starting out there.
Well, I started doing comedy in Ireland. So I was performing in Ireland for 2 or 3 years. And then when I was finished college, I decided that I wasn't going to stay in Ireland forever, you know. Not the way the Irish are. We all got fucking legs and we all want to go see the world. So I was either going to go to England or I was going to go to America. And at the time, I was able to get a visa through my graduate degree. So I was applied for that, came over here, and then next thing you know, it's 6 years later. That was it. And it's weird coming from Ireland, because I was doing comedy for like 3 years, which is a long enough time in Ireland. I was playing all the clubs. I was doing all the festivals. I was getting TV work and stuff like that. And then I came over here and all that stuff is irrelevant. So I had to start straight over again, even below the bottom. you know, because Ireland's so small. So I'm right down the bottom and spent years just doing open mics and shows and stuff. And then it's only the last year, really, that things are kind of picking up for me, if at all. You know?
Are you finding it easy, or is it frustrating?
It's hard, you know, but if you could just keep doing it, that's the end of it. Especially now, man, there's kind of no excuses to, if you think you're funny and you're talented, there's no excuses not to make things work for you anymore with the internet and just your phone. You can be world famous just making videos on your phone at the moment. So, and you can find your audience and you can write your scripts and you can make your own fucking sketches and you can do whatever you want. You don't need anyone waiting around for you. You just got to do it. So, and if people like it and they'll share it and they'll fucking hang out. And I think I might just turn down my mic there by mistake. If, you know, people like it, they'll share it. And that's just the facts. But back in the day, you used to sit around and wait for some guy in a suit to say, oh, yeah, I think you're right for the sitcom and all this shit. But you don't have to do that anymore, man.
But to tell me, is it like, because the way, because when we grew up, I'm from Belfast, you're from Big Posh Dublin, right?
That's it, yeah, Posh
big,
Dublin.
Big Posh Soft Dublin. But over here...
I have a question. Is there a posh part of Belfast? Because every city in the world has like the rough part and like the softer part. And it seems like Belfast is just all just rough as fuck.
There is a posh part, but it's like, it's not that posh.
It's called Drogheda, is it?
Yeah. but with fucking, but when you ever write, like, but over here, a lot of people have thicker skin where we could probably say stuff to each other in the pub and people would get over it immediately. But in fucking America, people need to go see the therapist and go, oh my God, this guy called me a big fag. So talk to me, when you write a joke, when you come up with a new bit, do you ever think, this is great, I can't say it because they'll fucking try to kick me out of the country?
No, I've never done that. No. I used to do that when I started my career in Ireland, like, but then you just sort of grow some balls and you just say it one time because you're bored and then you realize it's not the end of the world. That, I think that's all, also, it's a bit of a blanket statement to say that every American is like a little bitch, but like, I guess Ireland's more used to small little jabs, you know? Irish people still get offended though, you know? Irish people carry themselves like, you know, we're fucking like everyone's best friends and we don't get offended, but they do have, you know, Irish people do get their fucking feelings hurt. There's a reason why we're always punching the fucking head off each other every fucking Friday night. You know what I mean? Like, that's not just coming out of love. That's not because we're just embracing with some every fucking idiot we ever meet, you know?
So. I can't wait to get back to that, though. The Friday night, go out in the piss and go, what the fuck are you looking at? And then just to be sitting in the hospital bed with broken teeth and going, it's back again.
Yeah, that is funny. Just some guy just who's going through depression, some like borderline hooligan who just hasn't got to shank anyone in a while. No one, he hasn't bottled any cunt in a while. And he's just feeling depressed. Got this time last year, man, I fucking slit some guy's throat on the street. But can't wait to get back to it. Can't wait to get back to it.
It's going to be great. But before we get back to it, shall we take a little break so we can go for a disco dance and show each other our chests?
Sounds great, man. Let's do it.
Let's do it. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Now, let's talk about something we could all use something more of right now. Sex. Great sex. Put it like this. We're all on lockdown right now. Because of that, it really cuts into our time of what we like to do. We can't go to parties, can't go to the cinema, can't go to concerts. We actually can't. Just can't do nothing. So what else is there better to do? You stay at home and you do what it is that you always want to do. Sex. And what better way to do that than by taking Blue Chew and really, really going for it. It's not like you gotta get up in the morning to go into the office. Well guys, you can now increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed there, man. Listen up. Go to bluechew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Well, Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night. even if you've got a full stomach, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is made in the USA. It's prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor or wait in line. It's even cheaper than a pharmacy, and they prepare and ship it right to you in a discreet package. No awkwardness. You don't need to leave the house. If you personally can benefit more from confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance and penis. Well, right now we've got a special deal for It's Hughie Hello listeners, and only It's Hughie Hello. It'll never work on any other show apart from the H-Man's. Visit BlueChew.com, get your first shipment free, that means for nothing, when you use the promo code HELLO, as in It's Hughie Hello. All you have to do is pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Use the promo code HELLO to get it for free. Why not? It's free. You might as well try it. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper choice. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you in turn help make this podcast possible. So please be sure to use our promo code HELLO at BlueChew.com. Thank you, Blue Chew, and on with the show. Yes, that was a good first half. We're now going into the second half. As you see, me and Colin, basically two brothers, expect the spin-off show soon. The Irish Boys, the proud Irish Boys. In fact, you know what? Let's take the Irish out of it and we'll call the show... But, you know, you can fill in the rest. But anyway, up for part two now with the great Colin Tyrrell. Colin, hello. We're back from the break, but I got to ask you, Colin, what do you think of that song choice?
I liked it.
Well, you seem like the type that would. But, of course, a couple of days ago, I'd have seen you on Kevin Brennan's show, Misery Loves Company. I don't know if you ever noticed, but he's kind of an angry guy. Did you ever notice that?
He is a bit of an angry guy. Yeah,
and the latest issue he's had, and it's kind of ridiculous to be honest, but he's so pissed off about the fact that Dave Landau, former three-time guest of this show. So if any new listeners are listening to this, he's been on three times. Go check it out, or go check it out on the YouTube, like a good bunch of lads. Dave Landau apparently accepted a quite a high raise to go work on the Crowder show, which has a much, much bigger audience than Compound Media. So really, for me, he didn't do anything bad or anything that anybody else wouldn't have done. Brennan is fucking furious about it. So talk to me about your opinion on the Kevin Brennan versus Dave Landau feud.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's Kevin gets in feuds with everyone, you know? So... that's just like his thing. He kind of, he's a little bit autistic or something, so he has no filter, or he has Asperger's or something. I don't know what's going on with Kevin, but he's not all there. I love Kevin, but like, and it's like the same things that make you love Kevin would be the same things that are the worst things about Kevin, in terms of he has no filter, he's just constantly calling people out, things like that, you know? So he's like difficult to be around, but I like it. There's not a lot. There should be more Kevin Brennans in comedy. But I also love Dave. Dave's a good friend of mine. So I just let those two fight it out. And I try not to get too involved, you know. But in terms of Dave, if anyone's moving up for more money, that's the end of it. Yeah. There's no other argument about it. I'm sorry. I'm moving to get more money. That's it. That's it. Over. Pay me more money or I'm moving. So that's... You just make sense. That's the only thing.
Yeah, and it's not like Dave's doing it so that he can fucking buy more hats. Like, he has kids and a wife. Like, he's only doing what everybody else would fucking do.
Of course, yeah.
But the real shame, though, with Dave leaving Compound is that I've... Not that we were, like, texting every day back and forth, but I, since interviewing him, have stayed in contact with him. And he was going to be my in to be able to go to Compound Media when I can get back to fucking New York and get to meet Anthony, get to do Cook with Gino, get the fucking shag Karen Freehan, you know, all the New York typical stuff.
Yeah. Well, just message Gino and say you want to give him coke. I'm sure he'll meet up with you.
Yeah.
I'm sure Gino's not trying to vet you too much.
Yeah. But I got to ask you about that.
Dude, it's not that hard. Just show up to the fucking studio and they'll let you just sit in and you can just meet all these guys. It's not a fortress. It's not a real compound where they have armed guards and stuff. They're fine. They're nice guys.
Not for now. But I got to ask you about the podcast world, because a while ago I remember seeing you on Real Ass Podcast.
Yeah.
And you were on with Dalton Pruitt, who's also whose episode will be out either before or after this. So if you're listening to this, go check it out on the YouTube and all your podcast streaming services. And in the show, you guys joked about starting up another show called The Mick and the Hick.
Yeah.
But do you think that the podcast comedy world, it's kind of getting a little bit over the top? And that everybody's like, hey, I just found a fucking pen. Why don't we start a show about pens and we'll do it all on Patreon? And it's like, right, enough of this fucking stuff.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. For sure. I think there's going to be a big crash, a big bubble burst relatively soon, you know? It all depends, you know? I reckon the good podcasts will survive and the ones that people don't want to really be doing too much will. Because the big guys like Bill Burr and Burr Kreischer, they all have like 5 podcasts now each, but they make huge money. So they're kind of just while the gold rush is going on, they're making big money. But as more and more podcasts get created, that money will get spread out more and more. So I reckon they'll probably stop doing it when the money decreases, you know? But yeah, podcasts are a pain in the fucking cunt. They're like, I have like 18 this week. I think you've asked me a few times to do this and like, I only agreed to do it because you're Irish, you know what I mean? But like, people are asking me to do podcasts all day, every day. I get 5 requests to do a podcast. Like, and if I just do one of those, like that's like every day, then I have to do it. Plus my own ones, plus the other ones I get asked to do. So it's like, it's pain in the fucking hole, man.
Yeah. But the weird thing is though, is that I think the people on podcasts, this has become the new stand-up, and that people who may not have seen you do a live set will probably be like, I heard him on Real Ass Podcast. He was funny as fuck. I'll follow him on Twitter. I'll follow him on Instagram, all this shit. Mm-hmm. So I think it's become important, but as a business side, like, I don't know if you've heard the rumor, but Will Smith is about to start a podcast. Thank God. And if he does, on a bad week, he's going to get like 4 million downloads an episode, which is going to make it 10 times harder, at least for the rest of us. Like, if you got like a 40,000 download episode, that's going to look like shit. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, it was like 40,000, holy fuck. So yeah. I think that the it's become hijacked by a bunch of lazy pieces of shit.
Yeah, a lot of celebrities are doing it now. Especially a lot of celebrities have no... they're not interesting. You know, it's actually the opposite nearly. The more successful you are and the richer you are and the more famous you are, it's like the less interesting you are. Whereas a fucking, some guy who's like a plumber for cash and still claiming the dole, that guy's interesting. That's a funny guy who's like an interesting guy. He wants to tell, you know, his fucking wife won't let him see his kids or something. You know, like, that's an interesting guy. I don't want to hear Will Smith talking about, you know, getting a scratch on his fucking Ferrari or something. So, but Will Smith's not taking my audience, by the way. I don't care how many he gets. No one's switching over from me to hear Will Smith tell you to, like, follow your dreams or whatever the fucking horseshit he fucking feeds everyone.
If he does steal your audience, though, what word would you call him?
Sorry?
If he took your audience, what word would you call him to offend him?
Oh, I'd call him a cunt.
Ah, good. I was so worried in case you were going to say something else.
I think you were trying to, entice a little negative word out of me.
I would never do that. By the way, what's the first 3 letters of the country Nigeria?
NIG.
So what's the letter? That's the third one?
G.
All right. What's the medical TV show that George Clooney used to be on?
It's just, this is why you're trying to just get me to spell out this one.
But
then I think you did it wrong too, right? Because if I say ER, that spells Niger, the country.
I can just edit it.
All right, go ahead, man. Try. Yeah. You've edited together like one of those ransom notes, you know, where you have like a letter from here, from this, a big L, a big fucking O.
And I'll put that famous, you remember the screaming sheep thing in the middle of it? But okay. I got to ask you as well about Legion of Skanks.
Okay.
When you go on shows like that, or when you record with them, is that ever kind of a nightmare? Because sometimes I watch that show, and it really seems like the guest is just sort of watching these three people speak. Yeah. And then, when they did live shows, and I'm sure they will again, it always seemed like it was twice as hard for the guest to get a laugh. Because the audience is there for Lewis, Jay, and what's the guy, Dave?
The other guy. I don't know. I never learned his name. But it's Lewis and Big Jay and then some other guy, yeah.
So talk to me. What's it like recording with those guys? Because they're so, like, especially Lewis J. Gomez. He looks like he's fucking mental. And
yeah. Well, Lewis is on a lot of Adderall, so he don't shut the fuck up. And I don't think he realizes how dumb he is. So he, like... Again, a lot like Kevin Brennan, like all of Lewis's faults are the same thing that make him a great person. You know, he's stupid, but he doesn't realize he's stupid. So he's just like aggressive and he goes for it. And that's why he's so good in business, I guess. You know, he doesn't see no. And he's a driving force. You know, he's passionate and he has a lot of energy, I guess, you know, but at the same time, he's like, you shouldn't be. This is stupid. But then he gets the result. You know, he's like a guy who tries to jump fucking a trash can or something, you know what I'm saying? Where it's just like, you shouldn't do this. And then he goes, fuck it. And he actually does, he pulls it off. And you're like, all right, fair enough. That was dangerous, but you did it. You know? That's how I describe Lewis.
If there was a feud between Lewis and Kevin Brennan, who do you think would come out on top there?
Well, Lewis would bury him in terms of fans. In terms of loyal fans, the Legion of Skanks fans are like fucking, they're like an army.
Yeah, they've become the new sort of like Opie and Anthony.
Yeah, to a degree. It's nowhere near as good as Opie and Anthony, though. Opie and Anthony is like real radio fucking royalty. You know, nothing's ever really came close to it since. Because I don't think there's ever been two hosts that aren't comedians who are just happy to let comics come in and be funny. And then there's also no pressure to be funny on those old Opie and Anthony shows. So that's why it's even funnier. Whereas in Legion of Skanks, it's like gag. That's like, you know, you don't have time to not be funny. You got to just be throwing in your dumb fucking jokes. Whereas Opie and Anthony is just like perfect radio, if you ask me.
But talk to me a little about Anthony Cumia. He's like, I love the guy. Mm-hmm. And I interviewed him about 2 years ago. And every time I come close to getting another interview, his fucking Twitter gets shut down. So then I've got to work my way back in and, you know, send him racist comments. But enough about that part. But so talk to me about what it's like for you, because with Cumia, like, the liberals are out to get him. And they want to kick him off Twitter, off YouTube. Like, they go so far to bury him, all this stupid shit with Paris Hilton starting up back in March. Of course, this is April, but we're long past it. But talk to me what it's like for you as a comic that to get on a show like Compound Media or Anthony Cumia, which has so many fucking critics, but at the same time, that can help you build up an audience, but at the same time, it can fuck you. So what's... How is that from your perspective?
I don't know. Like, listen, here's the thing with Ant and Compound Media. It's like they do say a lot of stuff and they believe a lot of stuff. And it's a lot of stuff that I don't necessarily agree with or support. But at the same time, they're just like, they're just in comedy. And if I'm working with them, that doesn't mean I'm working with every part of their fucking being just because they say certain things. This is the problem with association. You know what I mean? Like, I don't fucking eat mushrooms. Just because Anthony Cumia is fucking talking about mushrooms during a podcast doesn't mean I'm suddenly, I like mushrooms. Does that make sense? So it's the same if he's fucking doing some anti-Semitic shit, which I do support. Right? But, you know, I'm not fucking guilty by association. That's the issue with all these type of people. And Ant's a fucking, again, a Hall of Famer broadcaster. One of the greatest voices in radio ever. He's probably the most talented person I've ever got to work with in my life. He's also caught up in this bubble of right versus left, and it just seems exhausting to me. I don't care about it. But if he got his Twitter taken off, he'd probably be a happier guy. He's a multimillionaire. He's got fucking beautiful fucking side bitches or whatever. He's got a pool. Drink a margarita and relax, and it doesn't matter. Just chill out. Throw the phone away. He's always on Twitter complaining about shit. It's like the best thing that could happen to Ant is just get his social media taken away and relax. You know, he's an old boy now, Ant. And I love him, but sometimes I just seem like, is that the argument for both sides? Is that just the rest of your life going, yeah, those guys versus those guys? Just your whole life is that? It's like, do you ever chill out?
Yeah. My whole thing with Anthony is that I think he's possibly the funniest non-comedian going, he's so sharp, and he can do he could do these impersonations. You'd swear it's the real person. And
who
so
was
he
that? Could, well, who was that impression of?
Denzel Washington.
Nice, crush it.
Thank you. But so Anthony can pretty much put on a show, like a variety show, at any minute. He's so funny and talented.
Yeah.
Then if you go on Twitter, it's fucking black crime, gun control, fucking what do you call the fucking Joe Biden, and you're just like, it's like you're so funny, and you need to remind people online of that. It shouldn't be all hidden behind the paywall.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, look, this is his life, and the way he wants to live, he can live it. But it doesn't make any sense to me. I wouldn't care that much, you know.
Do you think part of it might be that, and this is going to sound silly, but it's like he's sort of stuck in the persona of the right wing commentator guy?
I don't know if he's stuck in the persona. I'm sure he very much believes all the stuff that he says. And I guess it does get easier as you cultivate a fan base that like you to say these things or believe these things or whatever. You know, suddenly you just stuff that you get fed that information, so then you kind of, your opinions get more and more like that, and next thing you know, you just gotta, your audience kind of pushes you. Next thing you know, you're just alone floating in the sea, like fucking saying AOC should be fucking raped or something, you know? And you're like, all right, man, just, again, you've got a nice big house and a nice pool, just put the phone down and have a margarita, just relax, turn Fox News off and just watch the NBA draft or something. Just fucking relax.
And for the record, neither me or Colm are saying that AOC needs to be raped.
No, did not.
If she wants it, then yes, but not that she needs to be raped. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's it.
But with again,
all these guys are legends. Ant's a legend. Kevin Brennan's a legend. Dave Lando is a legend. Lewis is a legend. I love all these guys.
But how is it for you, though? Because I would assume you were a fan before coming to America.
Of
like Anthony and Brennan and stuff?
Never heard of Kevin Brennan until I moved here. I knew of Opie and Anthony at the time, but I didn't really know them. I didn't really listen to their stuff until even living here. I used to listen to Patrice O'Neill stuff and Louis on O&A, but now I listen to full episodes, like today. Like I'll put on my thing and I'll pick a random date and I'll listen to the whole episode. And it's better radio than something. Even though it's a 4-hour episode, it's better. Even if it's 13 years later, that's a better audio experience than listening to someone do an hour about everything that's in the news. And they're like, zing, 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 joke, joke, joke. It's much more enjoyable to listen to those guys take their time and dissect things and stuff. And then it's also a nice little time capsule because they're like predicting what the fuck. Where's Tim Tebow gonna go? You know, and you're like, oh, he's going nowhere. That's where he's going.
That's the great thing, though, about Anthony is that he's 100% real. Because when I interviewed him, he was making fun of black people. He was doing dice. Like, it was fucking great. And it's like, this is the guy we want.
Mm-hmm.
Not that, of course, either of us endorse making fun of black people. We just like edgy jokes, not racism, right?
Yeah, I guess that's what you, yeah.
Yeah, I'll edit that part out. But listen, Colm, I just want to thank you so much for your time here. I've been a fan of you for a while.
Oh, thanks, man. Good luck with everything, man.
It's great to talk to you, but do you have anything to plug for these shitheads that listen to this crap?
Yeah, head over to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Colm Tyrrell, and then you can check out my podcast, which is called The Wizard of Pod. And everywhere you get podcasts, you should be able to get mine. So please go check it out. And if you do come from here, leave a little comment or something that says, Adam sent me.
Yes, right. or say that I didn't, and just do something to bump up the view. You can't...
Anything at all. Just let me know how you found the show.
There you go.
And I appreciate it, man. Good luck with Everton.
No problem. And it's good to know that when I come to New York, I've got my cocaine hookup. So thank you very much.
All right, man. Take it easy, man. Right. Have a good day.
Okay. Thank you, Colm. What is coming next for the podcast? Well, at the time of recording this, because I don't want to date it, I don't want to, because I don't know what order this will be coming out compared to other ones. For example, a little behind the scenes trivia. I recorded an episode with a comedian called Dalton Pruitt back in February. That at the minute it's March 15th I'm recording this. Still not come out, and it may not come out until April, because frankly I've stuff to do and that's the way it is. So whenever this comes out, I hope you enjoy it. But I have to say that our lockdown over here is finally easing up. So if you thought that I did the podcast, you know, on an uneven schedule before, get ready for it to be done even less, because if I can go to the pub, then I will go to the pub, and I will not be happy until I am hungover in a cinema eating pizza. So thank you for listening, and it's Susie. Bye bye.